Praise God, let's go to God in prayer. Father, how precious are the feet of those who bring the gospel. How precious, O God, is your gospel, and how precious is your Son. He is worth and worthy of our love. He is worthy of our life. He is worthy of every sacrifice we make for him. Father, we thank you most of all. We gratefulness for the love that you have poured upon our lives, for the mercy that you have shown to each one of our lives. We thank you, Father God, for your grace. You have brought this church into being, and you continue to guide and help us into the fullest plan of your will. We want to remember to thank you. We want to remember to give you the glory and the worship and the honor for all that you do in our lives, in these years, in the church. And as the church, Father God, we continue to petition you that you continue to grant us the grace, grant us the wisdom, grant us, O Lord, of your Spirit, that we may continue to do your will. Most of all, Lord, we only desire that your will be done and not ours. We desire that Jesus be glorified. We desire that the Father be magnified. We desire that the Spirit be manifest in our midst, Father. For Father, as we look into your word, stir our hearts, stir our lives, O God, that we may catch a fresh vision, that we may catch, O God, the rhema that you're speaking to our lives even this day. O Father God, grant us your Spirit to teach and to lead and guide us all the days of our lives. We promise to honor you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Listen to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, and just a short word this morning. Today is a day of celebration, and we just want to look at the pattern of the church in the book of Acts. And we are building this church on the pattern of churches in the Bible. And there are four patterns and four main churches that we want to focus on in the Bible. The church in Jerusalem, the church of Antioch, the church of Philippi, and the church of Ephesus. Each church has its unique place and position in the Word of God. It has its strength and its weaknesses. But we desire to take the best from the Word and pattern our lives and the vision of this church along with what God shows in the Word. And first of all, the church in Jerusalem. The Jerusalem church is always at the center of the move of God. And we see how that every major move started in the book of Acts in the Jerusalem church. And even some issues they always have to bring back to the Jerusalem church, because it was a church that was in the move of God. It was a church that heard the voice of God in their generation and flow along with it. We see how in the book of Acts chapter 2, that the Jerusalem church was a church that began with a great move of God called the Pentecostal movement. In Acts 2, verse 1 to 4, it tells us that in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one place, in one accord, in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting.
Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we want to be like a Jerusalem church, where God instigates, and God began a work in their generation that swept the whole known world. It began in the book of Acts. And we want to be the church of God that would be used by God to start a new movement, to start a new move. Yes, we want to be part of the move, but we want to be the beginning of the move of God. And in order to do that, we need to pay the price like they did. And to be like the church in Jerusalem, we have to pay the price of prayer. We have to, as a church, commit ourselves to pray. Only the church that prays will be at the very beginning of a new move of God. So it's a commitment to prayer that we need. We notice how it's in the book of Acts that the apostolic ministry started. And how it's in the book of Acts that any change of ministry started. We notice that in the book of Acts, chapter 6, when they had laid hands on the seven deacons in verse 5, Acts 6 verse 5, and the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, and they sat before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the Bible tells us how their ministry exploded in verse 8. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs around among the people. And how in Acts chapter 8, Philip in verse 5 went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So it was the beginning of a move of God that spread all through the known region, the church in Jerusalem. And even when they were having a sort of a meeting regarding the move of God among the Gentiles, they brought it right back to the church in Jerusalem. In Acts 15, we see how they had to bring the whole matter back to Jerusalem in verse 4. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. See, it's the church in Jerusalem where it was the beginning of a new move of God, and the sanction and move of God that was going on. In Acts chapter 15, verse 28, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." Now notice here that the church in Jerusalem sanctioned and they gave the authority. They gave the letters that was brought by the hand of Silas and Judas among all the people in the Gentile world to say that it has been sanctioned what they had made a decision as regarding the Gentiles. So it was the Jerusalem church that was always at the beginning of God's new movement, God's new thing. It began in Jerusalem. Even the church of Antioch was planted as a result of preaching that came from Jerusalem. So we want to be like the church in Jerusalem. Say, we want to be like the Jerusalem church, at the beginning of the move of God. And for that, we have to commit ourselves to prayer. It's a commitment to spend time in prayer privately and publicly. And every time I hear news of how more and more people, incidentally, overnight prayers have become almost like the in thing in many places. It's beginning to catch on. I'm beginning to hear news of churches in the north of Malaysia starting overnight prayer and God beginning to do wonderful things. And they're beginning to start that in Perth, Australia, overnight prayer. In fact, it has now become a regular. Hallelujah. And it's also spreading toward the south, and some churches in Singapore are also moving into overnight prayer. Thank God there's something new that is beginning. Where people are beginning to go into God with the tenacity of a bulldog to pray through something and be right at the beginning of God's move, the church in Jerusalem. The church, we want to be like the church in Antioch. What's the church in Antioch? You notice in Acts chapter 11 that the church of Antioch was established strongly after a year of ministry by Paul and Silas, Barnabas and Saul. In verse 26, chapter 11, when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was there for a whole year. They assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And in those days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed us in the spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, etc. And we see here that the church in Antioch grew, and in chapter 13, verse 1, now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius, or Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod, the Tetra, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the work which I have called them. And so they separated and they began the apostolic ministry. It was the Antioch church which was the base of Paul's operation and missionary journey. So we want to be like the Antioch church, and the Antioch church was a center for fivefold ministries. Fivefold ministries could base their ministries in Antioch, like Paul. And we are setting up this church like the Antioch church, where it would be a base for the fivefold ministries, where apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers can find their place and ministry in the church and could flow within the infrastructure of the church and minister to the fullest of the call of God that God has in their life. That's the church in Antioch. And there is a commitment to world evangelism. It's a commitment to develop the ministries of the fivefold. It's a commitment to develop the ministries of the individual body. It's a commitment to evangelize the world. And that's the vision that we want to place in this church. We are committed to a world evangelism. We need a world vision. We need to hold it before us. And we need to realize that one ministry is not enough. Two ministries is not enough. 10 ministries are not enough. We need all the ministries possible. And we need to be part of the instrument to raise up ministries in God. And that's our commitment. It's the vision of Antioch will be ours too. Thirdly, we are committed to that vision, and we want to be like the Philippian church. The word Philippians title to the word Philio, which means a brotherly love church. A church that is based on love, and involved in that is a commitment in God of everything that we have. A church that will move into the prosperity of the Lord. Look at the Philippian church in the book of 2 Corinthians. It was planted in Acts 16, but let's look at 2 Corinthians. Chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. In spite of all that the devil threw against them, they could rise up in riches, in liberality. That's prosperity in the church. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. The book of Philippians chapter 4. And we see in verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Not only did they give, they also received. So the Macedonian church, which is a church in Philippi, the Philippian church, was a church that God began the beginnings of missionary giving. See, Paul says, it was the church in Philippi that started that financial move of God and began to start supporting Paul's ministry. And we want to be like the Philippian church, to tend on God's law of prosperity. Not that necessarily we come from a rich background. It tells us in their deep poverty, they knew the grace of God and they rose in the realm of prosperity supernaturally, not naturally. Like the Philippian church. And there's a commitment to prosperity, a commitment to giving, a commitment of our finances in our lives. And then number four, we want to be like the church in Ephesus. Acts chapter 19, verse 10. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, and both Jews and Greeks. The church of Ephesus was a center of teaching. It was a commitment to the word of God. Paul, day and night, for 2 years. In fact, in Acts 20, it says, including the 2 years in Tyrannus and 1 year outside the school of Tyrannus, it was 3 years commitment. Every day he taught the word of God. The Ephesian church was an example of a commitment to the uncompromised word of God. So these are four visions and four churches. The church in Jerusalem, where God begins the move of God. That's a commitment to prayer. It is also a commitment to praise and worship. And number two, the church in Antioch, a commitment to world evangelism, development of the fivefold ministry and of every other ministry. The church in Philippi, a development of new methods, a development and move of God into new things that had never been done before, a commitment to prosperity by the grace of God. And number four, the church in Ephesus, a commitment to a strong teaching ministry, a commitment to the Word of God. And all these four areas of strong points in the various churches can be seen in the four times, in fact there were five times, but Joash 1 and Ezekiel are one, when they prepare the temple of the Lord. See, the temple that Solomon built began in David's time and in David's heart. In the book of 1 Chronicles, let's turn to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles and chapter 28, verse 11 and 12. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasury, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries for the dedicated things, also for the divisions of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the articles of service in the house of the Lord. David established the house of God, which was at that time still in a tent in Jerusalem. If you remember the story, it was he who brought the house of God and put it up as a tent in Jerusalem. And they had this ceremony to bring in all these articles of God and the ark of God, and David danced with all his might. And so David's tabernacle represents that beginning of the move of God. It was David to which all the other patterns tie to. And that's the church in Jerusalem. And that's having the patterns and the plans of God. That's the vision of God, like David's tabernacle, that was established because David was a man after God's heart. He was committed to prayer, he was committed to worship. And he stepped on plans and purposes of God that reached out beyond him. He was the beginning of God's move. If not for David, Solomon could not do what he did. Because of David, that Solomon could launch further. That's like the church in Jerusalem, David's tabernacle. Then Solomon's temple, in the book of 2 Chronicles. Solomon's temple building represents the church of Antioch. See, that Sister Antioch was the church that brought the gospel to the whole known world at that time, all of the known Gentile world, all over Asia Minor. And it was in Solomon's time that when a temple was built, that Israel became known throughout all the known world. They have visits from people all over. The Queen of Sheba came, and they heard of the glory that was there established in Israel. And we see in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 1, Solomon requested from the Lord in verse 11, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked how long for long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have been before you, nor shall any after you be like unto you. And we see that it's in the time of King Solomon that Israel reached the peak of its glory. Chapter 9 of 2 Chronicles. Verse 1. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with hard questions. Having a very great retinue of camels and boar spices, gold, and abundance in precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him all that was in her heart. See, the fame has gone forth all over up to the queen of Sheba. And it tells us that it's in his time that there was such an extent of the spread of the glory of Israel. All the known world marvel at the glory of Israel. It points to world evangelization. And that's like the church of Antioch. And that's a commitment to excellence, the commitment to perfection of ministry. And even the fivefold ministries in Ephesians 4 with 11 and 12 is there to perfect the ministries of God in the church. It's a commitment to excellence. It's a commitment to world evangelism. That's the purpose why God has set up the church. And it's equivalent to the Antioch vision. And then let's look over to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 31. In the time of Hezekiah, Joash's time and Hezekiah in their refurbishing of the temple speaks about the same thing. But we take Hezekiah's incident. In Hezekiah's time in chapter 31, when they began to restore the temple worship, the temple restoration, it tells us in verse 4, moreover, he commanded the people who dwell in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought an abundance, the first fruits of grain and wine, oil and honey, and of all the abundance, the produce of the field, they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. And the children of Israel and Judah who dwell in the cities of Judah brought the tithe of oxen and sheep, also the tithe of holy things which were consecrated to the Lord their God, they laid in heaps. In the third month they began laying them in heaps, and they finished in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the leaders came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. That's prosperity. They had so much blessings and abundance when they wanted to refurbish the temple and redo the whole temple worship. And there's so much that it was in great need. That is the church of Philippi, where at first there was a need. Look at the time before Hezekiah. The Israelites were in need. They were impoverished. And yet when Hezekiah decided to follow the vision of God, set the temple first, God began blessing, and they had not just blessings, but they had heaps. upon heaps of blessings. That's a commitment to the Philippian vision, prosperity and provision. When we commit ourselves to the vision of the Lord will supply over and above abundantly all that we ever need. The Philippian vision. And then let's go to the fourth one, which ties up with Ephesus, and that's the book of Ezra. Ezra restored the temple of God, and Ezra did more than that. Let's look at the book of Ezra, chapter 3, in verse 11 and 12, when they started rebuilding the temple of God, they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. It says, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel." Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of the fathers' houses who were old men who had seen the first temple wept with a loud voice when the foundation of the temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy. And so that was the beginning of the temple restoration. And we read, right after the temple was completed in chapter 6, verse 15. Now the temple was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. And verse 17, they offered sacrifices at the dedication of this house of God, 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel. They assigned, and notice what they did. Now, this is the most significant thing done in Ezra's time, in verse 18. They assigned the priests to their divisions and the Levites to their divisions over the service of God in Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. And they celebrated the Passover. And then after the whole establishment of the whole thing, what Ezra did was to organize the synagogue system. The synagogue system that came in Jesus' time, that was well known in Jesus' time, was started by Ezra. It was the teaching of the word. Ezra himself was a scribe. And so he got together and perpetuated a system where the word of God could be continually passed on from one generation to another. By the time Jesus came on the scene, the synagogue system was so established that they have a synagogue literally wherever Jews gather together. That whole synagogue system was traced back to Ezra. And that's the vision of the propagation of the word of God, the teaching ministry of the word of God. And that's the efficient vision, where we would have a vision to implant the word of God in the people's lives, and a vision that it should grow forth as a teaching center over all of the known world. And that's the fourfold vision that we want to continue to launch forth into. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise and thank you for this time as we remember your goodness unto our lives. We thank you, Father God, for your mercy. We thank you, Father God, that you continue to cause us to move from faith to faith, grace to grace, glory to glory. And we thank you for your mercy in our lives as we commit ourselves to the vision of church planting and church building. We thank you, Father, that which is begun, you help us to complete, Father, by your grace, in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together and let's pray this prayer together. Pray this prayer after me. Say, Father God, we come before you and commit ourselves to your vision, to do the will of God. Father God, help us to perfect and do the work that you have called us to. We commit ourselves to your vision, Father, that you, Jesus, may establish the church of Jesus Christ, that against our hell shall not prevail against us, but we shall prevail over the gates of hell. and possess the gates of the enemy. We thank you, Father God, that you continue to stir our lives. You continue to rise in our lives, that your vision, O God, will fully come to pass. Though the vision tarry, we will wait for it, and we will work in it until it comes to pass. We thank you, Father God, that your will is done and not our will. In Jesus' name.
Live your vision high in a way that you never have before.
Blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ continue abundant upon our lives, continue upon our lives of each one represented here. May God increase upon the lives. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord prosper you as you go forth, the Lord prosper you as you come in. The Lord keep you, your restore well, and preserve blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God. Praise you, Father God. As we continue singing that song again, those of you who need ministry, we minister to you. If the desire your heart is to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, this is the first time, and you've never done it before, you come to my lab, we'll pray with you here. And the rest of you, you can consider to yourself, just mean you can go downstairs for the fellowship, and we have downstairs. Praise God. Live.